Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 15. I won't read the passage yet, but my text is Deuteronomy 15, the last part where we left off from last week. It will be this morning, verses 19 through 23, as most of you are probably already aware. But listen to this. Let me give you this as a way of introduction and beginning. The opening of the 117th Congress in 2021 was led in a prayer. And the prayer ended with some words, and I'm going to quote you. This is not hearsay. I went online, I hit the little arrow, and I listened to the whole prayer. Some of the prayer was quite good. And I will not dare say that the prayer was not sincere, because I do not see the heart. I do not see the heart. But let me give you the last few words of that prayer. It was the opening of the 117th Congress. Of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and gods known by many names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman. Now, the religious talking heads made much to do of the phrase a man and a woman. Now, I'm not speaking for this person who prayed the prayer. He spoke for himself. He spoke about it later. And others spoke about it. But some were so tore up about a man and a woman. I don't care what the reason is. It is a mockery of God Almighty. But there's something worse than that here that nobody touched. Of the monotheistic God. He was praying that there's one God. But let me say, God is not a monotheistic God. God is God. We are ought to be the monotheists. God is one. He is God. And He is not monotheistic. We should be. But it continued, of the monotheistic God, Brahma. Brahma is not God's name. Brahma is not God's name. Deuteronomy 19, chapter 15 reads this way, verses 19 through 23. And all the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock, thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Firstling males only. No females. Now I'm adding that, but this is still the truth. No females. Period. Period. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. So this ain't just for one person or one group of people. This is for who? Yeah. All. All of God's people. Yeah. All of Israel. Specifically in this day in which it was given for a bunch of Israelites.
Yes, sir.
A bunch of Jews. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or having have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof, thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. That is, the blood is vital. It is significant.
Yes.
It is important. Even if it's the blood of a hart or a roebuck, which were never even offered in sacrifice to God.
That's right.
So even in your everyday food, you take great reverence for the blood.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there's a sense in which he's, not a sense, he is telling them, you don't partake of the blood.
Yeah.
The blood's for somebody else.
There you go. That's right.
Now, Christ's blood was shed for sinners.
Amen.
But it was offered unto God.
Amen.
And the blood is God's.
Yes.
Now, every man, and I mean by that male, and you are either a male or a female, according to your, and forgive me if I got the wrong word, but I think chromosomes. Am I not right about that? And I don't care what you do to your body outwardly, you will never change your chromosomes. Your chromosomes will remain the same no matter what you do to your human body. I know there are certain things as mutations and genetic defects and that kinds of things amongst people. And it's got to be mind-blowing for those who were born that way.
Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying. Every male or every female, I don't care what your skin color is, of every generation since time ever was, every man, woman, boy, girl, child, black, white, green, it does not matter, from the first one to the last one, will bow down to God's man.
Amen.
Henry Mayhead said once of Rolf Barnard, Rolf was a great preacher, but he was very unpredictable. I asked my wife when I sent you all that title, I said, bow to God's man. I said, did you think I was talking about me, the preacher? Huh? No. No. The reason Henry said that about Rolf is because Rolf came to Henry after one of the conferences that Henry used to have every year at 13th Street. And Rolf, and I won't get these words exactly right, verbatim of course, but Rolf basically told him, Henry was the young preacher, about the early 20s. Rolf was way on up there. And Rolf told Henry, he said, you need to assign these young preachers messages because they just get off in left field every which way and something along that line. So Henry took it to heart, and the next time around he's assigned everybody, all the preachers, a passage or a subject or whatever it was. Well, he assigned Rolf one too. And Rolf got up and said something along the line, there's one thing I hate is to be assigned what I got to preach on. But since I've been assigned to preach it, and I know it's in this book, then I'm going to preach on it. So Henry said Rolf was really unpredictable. Rolf wasn't meaning for Henry to assign him a subject. All these younger fellows he assigned. But when I say bow to God's man, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God Almighty manifest in the flesh. Now you listen to me. You hear, you listen to, but you out there, anybody hears this later on tape, I don't care if you're a Muslim or a Methodist, you will bow to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will bow to Jesus Christ. Muslim or a Methodist. I don't care if you're a Buddhist or a Baptist. You will bow to Jesus Christ one day.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the Methodist and the Baptist don't be like to be linked to the Muslim and the Buddhist, but that's, you're all lost. You're all sinners. We're all guilty before God. It's just like, I forget, I don't know if it wasn't Jack Shanks, but one of the preachers from out of Texas, and he'd go to the prisons. May still be alive, but they still do it. Go to the prisons and preach. Well, they, you know, you always have the prisoners would be over here, and then some of the employees and the wardens, some of them be over here, and that preacher said to all the employees and the warden and all the big wheels, you sinners come over here and sit with these sinners while I preach to all of you, because you're all sinners. I'm sure that went over like a hair in the soup. But I'm telling you that every man, woman, boy, girl, skin color, you will bow to Jesus Christ one day.
Amen.
Hear God's sovereign declaration. You don't have to turn there, but and I know you've heard it before. Especially a lot of us used to hear it at Christmas a lot. But it's a valid message for far more time than just Christmas. Here's what it says. Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet writes, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." You understand that, right? The child was born, but the son wasn't born.
That's right.
The son wasn't born, he was given.
Amen.
But it's a, now listen to me, it's a son. S-O-N, male child.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Males of thy flock. Yes. Look at it. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God is not our mother. God is our Father. And anyone who would mock that, belittle that, is nothing more than blaspheming God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
They can pray all the prayers they want. They do. Men will do what they want to do. I'm not here to stop everybody and make everybody pray right. Because you're not going to pray right if you don't believe right.
Exactly.
And you're not going to pray in reverence to God. Reverence to God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you're not going to do that sincerely unless God Almighty broke you down and humbled you at the feet of his S-O-N. Son. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Six things, briefly. God demands continual worship.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 15, first part of verse 20. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord. That is this sacrifice before the Lord thy God year by year. Now listen to me. There are a lot of people that think because they did some one-time thing that they're all fixed up.
Yeah, you're right.
Thousands do. Now they vary on the thing or the one thing or a couple things. They vary. Some, I was sprinkled when I was a baby.
Yeah.
And people rest in that. Not that.
Oh, yeah.
Or I came forward and I prayed the sinner's prayer. And I am not saying that these people are not sincere when they do that, but that is not salvation.
That's right.
It is not salvation.
That's right.
It just is not.
Exactly.
Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 4, but let me just give you the one phrase, to whom, C-O-M-I-N-G, coming. If you don't keep coming to Christ, you never have yet come to Him the first time.
Amen. That's it.
You don't get fixed up by something you do back yonder.
Yeah.
You're fixed up because you do it every day of your life.
There you go.
You come to Christ. You come to Christ. You come to Christ. You come to Christ.
That's it.
And pray God you die in that faith. Because of that great, in Hebrews, that great list of people who believed God by faith, they did this and
yes,
did that, Mac. It says, these all died in faith.
Amen.
And he that endureth unto the end, endureth how?
Yeah.
By coming to Christ, coming to Christ, coming to Christ.
Yes, sir.
He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. If we continue in the faith, the book says, does it not? Well, preacher, I thought you believed in once saved, always saved. It's according to who, what kind of salvation you got.
Amen.
If God saved you, it'll be forever. If you saved yourself, it ain't gonna last.
Exactly.
And you gotta keep doing it over and over. Well, we don't keep coming to Christ so God'll keep saving us. We come to Christ because God has saved us.
Amen.
We got nowhere else to turn.
That's it.
We got nowhere else to turn. Number two, God demands the place of worship which He chose. Verse 20. Thou shalt eat of it before the Lord thy God every year, year by year, in the place which the Lord shall choose. It ain't up to us.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I don't like the way you preach. I don't care. I mean, if you want to be that way, I'll be that way too.
Yeah.
I don't care. But what I'd like to see is God Almighty conquer your pride and bow you down in humility to the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want to see God keep doing that to everybody that's here that He's already done it to.
Amen.
That He's already done it to. Philippians 2 puts it this way. Because of who Jesus Christ is. 2 verses 5 through 11. I'm not going to read it. 2, 5 through 11. Because of who Jesus Christ is and what He did. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And God will either bow you down to Jesus Christ now,
yeah,
and you'll be saved forever. You'll be saved forever. Or He'll bow you down at the judgment and you'll be damned forever by that same man, Jesus Christ. Because He's the judge we will all stand before.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's the judge we will all stand before. Number 3, God's chosen place is a male. M-A-L-E.
Yes, sir.
Verse 19, all the firstling males. And I'm going to just say, period. 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 Let me tell you something. You're going to bow down to a circumcised male or you'll perish. You're going to bow down to a man that is a Jew or you'll perish. I don't care if you're a Methodist or a Muslim. You're going to bow down to a circumcised Jew. A circumcised Jew right now sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for all for whom He died. That's the way it is. And if you're a woman and you don't like that, that's because you're in rebellion against God. And if you're a man and you don't like that, it's because you're in rebellion against God. You're going to bow down to a circumcised Jew. If God ever saves you in bowing down, because many will bow. All will ultimately bow. You're going to bow down and you're going to love Him too. You're going to love Him too. And remember, this circumcised Jew is the one that's called by Paul when he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6. He's the only mediator between God and men.
Amen.
That is the M-A-N. A circumcised Jew.
Yes, sir.
Preacher, you don't have to keep emphasizing that. I do as long as men are rebelling against it.
Right.
Until they take my tongue or God takes my tongue, Joe, I'll keep trying to say it. You're going to bow down to a circumcised Jew because that circumcised Jew is God's Son, God manifest in the flesh.
Amen. That's it.
Christ is the second Adam. He ain't the second Eve.
That's right. You're right.
I don't like that. I know you don't. I didn't at one time either. But God conquered my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm glad for that now. I never, Joe. Oh, I knew he was born of Jewish, but I didn't realize, Walter Pendleton, you're going to bow down to that circumcised Jew or you'll perish.
Amen.
Mason, I had no idea. I've brought up in religion in a Baptist church and had no idea about that true fact. You're going to bow down at the feet of a circumcised Jew.
Yes, sir.
You Gentile dog, you.
Hmm? Yeah.
You proud male of the human race. You're going to bow down to that man. God's man will not be honored as one among many honorees.
Yeah, you're right.
He is preeminent.
Amen.
Why? Because it pleased the Father.
Yeah.
It pleased the Father. We have a mother. It's called Jerusalem, which is above.
There you go.
We have a mother. And it's actually the grace of God manifest in His people. That's what it is. Number 4. This one man did all the work of redemptive sacrifice by himself. Verse 19. All the firstly males that come of thy herd, of thy flock, thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. In other words, it ain't you and him working together. It ain't me and Jesus getting this thing figured out.
You're right.
Yeah. He, as the sacrifice, does all the work.
Amen.
He does it all.
Yeah.
Hebrews 1:1-3 is summed up this way. When he had by himself purged our sins.
Amen.
He sat down. Why? Because he was tired? Nah, he was in a new body now.
Yeah.
He was tired before.
Yeah. That's true.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had to sleep before. Didn't he?
Yeah.
He don't have to sleep now.
Right.
You best be glad he don't sleep now.
Amen.
Because if he closed his eyes for a moment and you went off into eternity with sin on your hands, you'll be a goner.
Yeah, you're right.
You'll be a goner. He did all the work. And he did it how? By himself. Now, do you believe him?
Amen.
That one. Well, what about all of us, male and female? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that understands. No, not one. God didn't put a male as the pastor because males are smarter. It's just because God wasn't going to burden the women with the difficulty of that ministry. God wasn't going to lay that on your back. And if you think it's easy, there are times when I wish I could let some women get up here, but I've not seen one yet that preached the truth of God. Not one. The closest one I could even think of, and they say, she's a woman pastor, and she's smart, but they say, after you go on their website, we do not deal with controversial things. Jesus Christ is controversial. He's a circumcised Jew, and God the Father says, you bow down to him. I don't care what you are, who you are, where you are. You think that's not controversial? Go talk to a Palestinian. See if that wouldn't be controversial. Go talk to a Presbyterian and see if that ain't controversial. Huh? The gospel is an equal opportunity offender because it says you can't save yourselves.
Amen.
God's got to do it all or it won't get done.
Amen. That's right.
You got to be saved, you can't get saved.
That's right.
And I'm not going to hinge a man or a woman's actual salvation on saying, well, I got saved. But let me tell you, you never got saved. You don't get salvation. You have to be given salvation.
Amen.
You have to be saved. You have to be converted. I heard people, I converted to Judaism. I converted to Christianity. Whoop-dee-doo.
There you go. Exactly.
You got to be converted, our Lord said.
Amen.
Except you be converted and become as little children, you ain't even got a place in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Amen.
Be converted. For, like I said, this one man did all the work of redemptive sacrifice by himself. By himself. Number 5, you will partake of God's one man or you will perish. Verse 20, thou shalt eat it before the Lord.
Amen.
And then he says, don't you eat of the blood.
That's right.
Isn't that what he says?
Yes, sir.
And then this circumcised Jew comes along and says, and it's recorded for us in John chapter 6, verses 48 through 58, but I will bring it down, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. That was offensive to those Jews.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because even the blood of a roebuck or a hart, you pour it up on the ground. You show respect unto it, right?
Yeah.
The life's in the blood.
Amen.
And who sustains that blood? Yeah. God does.
Amen.
God does. But Christ said, you're going to partake of me or you've got no life in you.
That's right.
And how do you know if a man or a woman really has spiritual life? They feed on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You're not going to be around them long. And I'm not saying that we talk about Christ every moment of the day. That's a bunch of bunk that people think that. But let me tell you something. It ain't long when you're around a person who truly has partaken of his flesh and blood. His name will come up.
Amen. That's right.
His person's going to come up. His work's going to come up. His word's going to come up. His people's going to come up. And they want to be around that kind of situation. That's who they want. They'll support it. They'll support it. I don't care if it's a dollar a month. It'll be like that widow. And she just threw in, what is it called? Two mites? Am I right? Remember? Two mites. I don't even remember what that meant. It was very little. It wasn't much money. Maybe like a couple pennies, you know? Today, a dollar. But you know what our Lord said about that woman? She gave more than all these others that gave in their abundance. Why? Because she gave all she had. Got to tell you, I got to remind you again. Remember what old A.D. Muse said about giving, don't you? He said, if you tithe, you're a legalist. If you don't, you're a rebel. I just like that. I really like that. If you tithe, you're a legalist. If you don't, you're a rebel. Now, figure that one out.
There you go.
Hmm? That's a place where you can say like Christ said, now go learn what that means. But if you're thinking about it a while, you realize God's people give cheerfully and liberally. And it's not the amount. It's according as God's blessed you. And somebody's making minimum wage compared to what I make. God doesn't expect them to give the amount that I give. But they may give more than me when it really comes down to it. Yeah. Their giving may be far more sacrificial than mine in my abundance. Oh, you will partake of this one man. This circumcised Jew. I want to keep saying that over and over. I'm going to start saying that more to people. You ever tell people he's a circumcised Jew? Huh? I mean, that's going to cut every which way but loose. The feminist will be ticked at you. The macho male will be ticked at you. Right?
Yeah.
They ain't bowing down to no circumcised Jew. Yes, you will. Amen. One day you will. I pray God it's in this life.
Yes, sir.
And not at the judgment. Number six. Let's wind this thing up. I'm getting hungry. This one man's blood is to be honored in everyday life, not just at church.
Yes, sir.
The blood of the hart and the roebuck was poured out on the ground. Why? Because it was God's.
Exactly.
It was God's. You see, most people think being a Christian is you go to church either Saturday or Sunday and Sunday night, and it may be a Wednesday or at least a Thursday or two, something.
Yeah.
You got to get that middle week one in there too. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not making fun of people who do. But why don't you meet every day of the week?
There you go.
You ever had people say, we all only meet once a week, but we have three preachings.
Yeah.
We got more gospel in one day than y'all got in three times in the week.